Welcome back to Cairo Nights. The special guest of the evening is my very good friend and my former radio buddy. Actually, that makes it sound like we're not friends anymore when I say that, when in actuality we are buddies.
Former radio buddy, yes. Just acquaintances now.
Ashley Scontriano, all-American, rootin' tootin', small business owning, driving a Chevy to the levee, Trump voting, anti-vaxxin', AR-15s and apple pies.
Hold on.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
We talked about this last time. Trump is not, you know, my main guy. So let's just slow the roll.
Right. So
we're coming from a more moderate stance. All right.
Ashley, I've been talking to Stacey Jo Rost a lot about political analysis, right? Because that's my job. That's your job as a radio personality and as a media personality. By the way, where can people find you if they want to send you mean emails?
Absolutely. Mean emails can be sent to Instagram. You can slide in my DMs with your compliments at Common Sense Ashley.
So Stacey and I have been talking about having very nuanced political thoughts, like really, really nuanced, really just trying to view either Trump as contextually as you can or Biden as contextually as you can, and really trying to piece apart politics in the United States from a very heady level, from a level of how can we analyze a very polarizing figure like President Donald Trump? Now, you and I do it from the perspective of right wingers, right? You being very conservative, me being a right wing hack. You and I do it from this perspective of what is this person doing for the way that we see the world? That's where our bias comes from, correct?
Sure.
All too often, I have found that both conservatives and liberals do this purity testing where unless you fall within a very specific bracket, you are not welcome within the party. For example, Scontriano, yesterday I was talking about how the U.S. women's soccer team took a knee at the the Olympics, right? So they all take a knee, just like Colin Kaepernick. They all on one knee to protest police brutality. Such a big deal. Oh, it's such a dead meme, right? That's old hat.
Yep.
That's not cool anymore. So my response basically is I do not care if they want to do that. It is not a reflection on me. It is not a reflection on the way that I see my country. It is not a reflection on the way that I see my countrymen, so on and so forth. The response to that statement, Ashley Scontriano, is disproportionate to the weight of the statement itself. For example, if you don't like the fact that Colin Kaepernick took a knee or Megan Rapinoe takes a knee, what policy as this kind of right wing puritanical force that I keep hearing from out there, what policy would you like? Would you like him to be jailed for seditious activity? Would you like him to be jailed for treason? This is the problem with all this purity testing, is that none of these people have an actual policy in mind. Not a single one. If I talk about, okay, so what do you want to do if an athlete takes a knee? They go, it's just not American enough. It's just not American enough. I go, okay, but what do you want to do about it? Because everybody's welcome to their own opinion about it. But what do you actually want to do about it? And I get so frustrated, Ashley, with this purity testing that we do on the right. And I'm telling you right now, we're excluding people who would otherwise be in favor of, I don't know, lower taxes, pro-business, whatever it is, less government in our lives, whatever policies those are. By excluding people with these purity tests, like how people do it on the left, we are doing ourselves a disservice, Ashley.
Thank you for the rants of Stein. That's actually what the new show should be called.
Yeah, I know.
I hear you. And here's a couple things that I'll throw out as more examples to basically poo-poo this. You can stay on our side of being a Republican if you agree to XYZ. And that's constantly been the battle with conservatives, is we're so quick to judge one another and brush another aside.
Right.
And that really waters down the whole, movement, if you will. When you look at political parties, you see the Democrats being a party that, at times can eat their own, but for the most part are pretty united. When they have a mission statement that they put out. They want to be BLM supporters all the way.
Right.
Everyone unites. Nobody debunks it. On the right, you have individuals, like you're saying, if you take a knee for the flag, well, you're anti-American. You don't support the military. You don't support the men and women who have died for the country. And I'm over here saying, I understand both sides, but I also would want to put the argument out, what does America stand for when you look at our Constitution and you say, you're given the right to free speech, you're given the right not to be censored when you protest. And now we have somebody who is taking a knee out of their given right to express a feeling, an opinion. And then you have the conservatives that say, nope, not that
right,
one.
You, exactly.
You can't express that one. And it is hard. It is hard to dissect it. And, you know, you saw some of the female soccer team, some still stood and put a hand over their heart and saluted, you know, as one would, right? When the anthem is being played and you are supporting your country, representing them in another country as an Olympic athlete. And there are others that took a knee. I guess it just comes down to, for me, yeah, it looks disrespectful. In all honesty, it looks disrespectful.
Sure.
It looks
sure.
like you're disrespecting the country you're
totally.
From. Like the anthem's playing and you're taking a knee and you feel like, I'm not going to address my country. But at the same time, that's also what makes our country great,
right.
is you have the opportunity to do that. Case in point, just today, it's so funny we talk about this because I was doing a little stretch session and I had this really deep thought that I said to myself, why do words carry so much value? A word. So someone says a word and all of a sudden, like the middle of the earth breaks apart and people are like, you can't say that word anymore. That's a derogatory word. That's a word that has history to it.
Right.
That's a word that we do not say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, if I were to put myself in someone else's shoes and I am an American, right? Born in America, but I have ancestors and family members that were born and raised in another country. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, Ashley, what if my ancestors were put through something so horrible? And we can look back in history and we can pick a lot of examples. If my ancestors were put through something so horrible and there was a word that described the vitriol felt for my ancestors, and somebody today were to call me that, how would it make me feel? And maybe someone out there is going to say, well, you obviously haven't experienced those hardships to understand why that word shouldn't be used. But I thought to myself, I don't think it would bother me. I could have that word said to me and feel like, okay, either that person is just ignorant or they have their own issues, but that word doesn't define me. Does that make sense? And I wonder.
Yeah. So wait, are you saying, just to clarify for my, you know, my drug addled brain, are you saying that, like, for example, you're saying the M-bomb, you're saying someone walks into a room and they start
sure.
dropping an M-bomb and they start, you know, whipping up middle fingers and they're like, hey, all you people here, this is the way I feel about the world. Are you saying that should not impact
sure.
people?
Yeah. That's a big one. The N word is a big one, but you can also look in history and look at different cultures, and there are derogatory words for every culture that mean certain things, right? Either you find a culture to be lazy or you find a culture to be, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
greedy or money hungry or whatever it is. I'm just wondering, what is it about these words that sets people off? Because if a word is said to me, even a B word or the C word for women,
wow.
the C word for women is a big one. Okay.
Comfortable.
Of course. Absolutely. Cats.
Confident.
You know, it's a big one. And so if someone says this to me, I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't change who I am. That doesn't change what I represent. That doesn't change how I'm going to go about my life.
Sure.
That's the person using the word. That's their own doing?
Well, we have become in so many ways, Scantriana, I think specifically over the last like 5 years or so, and I've been thinking about this a lot. People have transformed into basically adult babies where the smallest amount of discomfort in a conversation is too much to handle. The smallest amount. So I was going on a rant the other day about COVID-19 and I'm yelling and I'm screaming about, you know, this idea that now the Biden administration is leaning towards masking again. I know for you in California, in Los Angeles County, everybody has to wear masks again. I believe that's the case if you're indoors.
Right. And then Northern California is putting out the recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
Not the mandate yet, but the recommendation.
So I'm ranting and I'm raving about this and I'm going over CDC data and I'm going over, I'm not actually pulling from, you know, some obscure institute of health from Wichita, Kansas, right? I'm using the CDC data. And I finish up my kind of thing about it and how, you know, basically kids under the age of 12 do not need to wear masks and they don't need to get vaccinated according to the data, blah, 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 blah. And I look at my text line 98973. And what I see is somebody who says, I hope you get it. I hope you get it. Meaning that this person is such a reactive baby that they would wish that I would get a terrible illness and potentially die.
I'm so sorry, but that's the life we live in.
Exactly.
So hosting my radio show, I would get callers when I would say something they didn't agree with, would say exactly the same thing. Well, let's just hope you don't get sick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, what is wrong with people to wish ill on someone from a disagreement or a difference of opinion or, you know, the research that you're believing is different from the research that I'm believing. And scientifically speaking, there should really only be one path on this. I mean, such as 1 and 1 equals 2, that's the correct answer. There should be a correct answer for science, but yet this really weird phenomenon has taken place over the past year and a half where all of a sudden science is debatable. And I'm just questioning, when did that happen and why did that happen? And does it involve politics? And it absolutely does.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with partisanship. You know what I mean? And here's the thing that I find really interesting, Ashley. Like, so you own a small business. So you get the minutia of local government, local politics, what a bureaucracy is. For some fool out there who works for a corporation that has never owned their own business, they could not possibly fathom what it means to have government come in and tell you that you cannot run your business anymore. They could not possibly fathom it. So what they do is they go, oh, what's the big deal? What's the big deal if you got to wear masks again? What's the big deal if you got to lock your doors again so people can't come in? And this is where the disconnect is. Then those same people go on Facebook and they go, oh, these crazy right wingers out there, they want people to go to work and die. And
exactly.
And they don't understand that for someone like you, COVID-19 is not affecting Costco. It's not affecting Safeway. It's not affecting Sam's Club. It's affecting Ashley Scantriano's dog babysitting business in Santa Cruz, California. The idea that people can't empathize with it and can't attach to it is what concerns me more than anything else.
Funny fact, sorry to cut you off, but this is a funny fact.
Sure.
It was so bizarre to me to find out that what I offered as a business owner was considered essential the entire time. I was never shut down.
Do you see how ridiculous this is, though, and how arbitrary it is?
Absolutely.
And what I find to be annoying for me as a political commentator and as someone who cares very much about his country and who cares very much about his countrymen, that there is this constant default or deference to the accusation of bad faith. You only feel that way because you're acting in bad faith. I get it all of the time. You're only saying that for ratings. You're only saying that to be provocative. You're only saying that because blah, 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 blah. I don't ever say anything that I do not believe. And if I make a mistake, I will correct myself on that. See my thoughts on James Dean dying in a Corvette when he actually died in a Porsche. But there is this attempt now at you know, President Trump Trump called it witch hunting. I think that that has spread like a social pathogen into our discourse, where now, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, you have to find the bad faith actor, the charlatan, the red herring, and then you have to excise that person from your political conversation. And it is caustic, Ashley. It's very, very caustic. And I'm not sure how we get away from it outside of people stop posting Facebook memes and stop going on Twitter.
we just shut down social media altogether. It's been a fun run, but a little toxic. I guess the thing for me is the more we learn about each political party and, dare I say, they're more similar than not, which is going to be a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. Each party has an agenda. And at the end of the day, what we've seen is that both parties are going to have faults, and they're going to find that you and me and the little middle America taxpayer, we don't count. And I think ultimately what needs to happen is we need to come together and realize once a politician, they're all on the same team, and we outnumber the politicians.
Yeah.
And so what you're seeing in California with the recall election is you had people come together and different political backgrounds, different economic backgrounds come together and say, okay, guys, we actually don't like what this political individual is doing to our livelihoods. And we came together. So I don't know how bad it has to get on what scale for you and I and everyone like us to come together and say, yep, we outnumber the politicians and we're on our own team.
Yeah, and I would say that I've been reading about Gandhi. I've been reading about Gandhi's life because I've been really fascinated with this idea of non-compliance, right? This was his whole thing, non-violent non-compliance. And I don't mean this in a hippy-dippy way. I mean this
more
so. I mean this more so as a perspective of what can right-leaning people do to convince people of how awful Democrat policies are, because they really are terrible. I mean, they're god awful. So I'm thinking more and more that we actually have to demonstrate to people what's going on in our cities or in our towns, and point to the people who are suffering in the streets. Like, take homeless people for an example, and say, this is what you have done to us, in the same way that Gandhi was going around and he was saying, look at these starving children in the streets, look at these people who are dying, so on and so forth. Ashley, we're almost out of time. Can you give everybody your details before we have to get out of here?
Let's do it. Thank you for the time. Jump onto Instagram. Find me at Common Sense Ashley. And like I've been saying, there's a podcast coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that's going to be within the week or so.
Ashley Scontrion is my very good radio buddy. We'll take a really quick break for my other radio buddy, Billy Sunshine, and a couple of few. We'll be right back after this. Sunshine is on the line. Mr. Sunshine, there is an interesting philosophical question about whether or not children in Washington can get a vaccination without parental consent. It's an article over at My Northwest that explores this. They talk about Rob McKenna and his whole opinion on it, and he's saying, well, that varies on which Washington that you're in. There's a law in Washington.
What does that mean?
Well, he says there's a law in D.C. that was passed before COVID that allows kids to get a vaccination without parental consent, as long as they're able to form an informed opinion, which, if you know any 5-year-old out there, can have an informed opinion about whatever. But he goes on to say that, McKenna says that children have a fundamental right to direct care and upbringing of the, some parents see this as an affront, McKenna explained, as they believe that they have a fundamental right to direct the care and upbringing of their children. So this is a sticky.
Which sounds right, by the way.
It's,
however.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, now we have a big however.
Okay, what is
and
that?
That's where we're going to, that's where the, you know, the tire hits the road or however that,
okay.
that goes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Where is this, Billy? Explain to me the liberal perspective on this.
Well, liberal perspective, as always, is the best possible outcome. So if, for example, your parents are part of some crazy religious faction that doesn't allow you to get medical help when you need it, then in that case, for example,
okay.
the parents should not be allowed to stop the child from receiving medical help that the doctors believe they need. Would you agree on that?
Well, what age do you think it's appropriate for a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old goes into a doctor's office and says, I would like to get vaccinated for COVID-19?
I think they're, you know, I just think that they have the right to want to not get sick.
Right, but...
And there's no age involved.
How
if
young...
If you can show up at the doctor's office and say, I want a vaccine, that's good enough for me.
So a five-year-old walks into Dr. Z's office, and the five-year-old right. says to Dr. Z, I want a vaccine. And then good old Dr. Z says, okay, and then he rolls up the kid's sleeve, and he shoots him up with the vaccine, and you're okay with that, Billy.
Well, I would say to the kid, well, why, where are your parents? And the kid would say, my parents are idiot Republicans.
Okay.
They believe crazy stuff, so please save my life, Doc.
So,
then in that case, he gets the vaccine.
In
yeah.
Washington State, children can go, and in fact, the parents can get kicked out of the examining room with the doctor when the child turns 13. So when you're 13, mm-hmm. you have okay. the right to medical privacy. So,
well, that's when the Jews decide you're an adult at 13. You become a man or a woman, yeah.
But then...
I think that makes sense to me.
But then, Billy, Washington State, however, does not mean that a child can walk into a drugstore and get vaccinated against COVID-19 without parental consent. According to McKenna, again, you cannot get vaccinated without a signed consent form. So, this is tricky, Billy, because here's the thing. If a kid is like 16, 17 years old and they want to get vaccinated, I'm totally fine with that. I would say what's too young for me, Billy, is that if you can't physically drive yourself to a doctor's office, that would be the cutoff line for me. If you're 13, 14, 15 years old.
Cutoff line for me is if you can walk into a doctor's office and make the request, that's good enough for me.
Okay, so again,
I don't have an age limit. Again, you have an age limit, so you're 16, you got to be able to drive.
Right.
That's pretty arbitrary to want to live. If I'm 15, I don't get to live.
But Billy,
my parents are jerks.
The problem is that people will make this argument into something that it's not, right? So this is let's do an example of what a bad argument is. So someone who is bad at debating will say something like this. They'll say, well, what if a kid wants to go in there and get put on cross-sex hormones? Should that be okay? And that's not a one-to-one comparison when it comes to vaccines,
that's right.
right?
That's right.
So
that's an interesting conversation to have, but that's not this conversation.
Right. And then another bad argument would be like, well, what if my kid walks in there and wants to get put on Adderall and Ritalin. Is that okay? I mean, these are bad arguments. Again, it's not a one-to-one comparison.
Yeah, exactly. Again, right. Yeah.
So if I'm, let's say I'm 12 years old, Billy. I'm a little baby again. And you know my family, Billy. They're all crazy religious cultists.
That's right.
So.
Right. The sooner you get away from your family and can ask for what you feel you need, I honor these things. Go ahead.
My thought would be, if I am let's say I'm devoutly religious and my 12-year-old kid goes to middle school and then they give my kid a vaccine because my kid requested it and was able to make an informed, do I sue? If there are no medical repercussions against it, do you know what I mean, Billy? Do I sue?
You don't have a say. You really don't. What's your point? You just want to screw up the educational system, cost them a lot of money?
I'm trying to think about a circumstance in which someone would have a legitimate grievance. You gave my child something that I did not want them to have. And I'm trying to reframe it in a way so that people could empathize with it. Because that's really
There's no way in the world that a 13-year-old should be able to get a breast implant without her parents' permission.
Exactly.
Fact, even with her parents' permission.
Exactly, Billy.
By the way.
So my thing is how can we empathize with these moms and dads out there who say, you're my child, I do not want you to get this experimental vaccine. I'm not interested in you receiving it.
It's a good argument, and you know, it's really hard to figure out where we should fall.
Right.
I want to try to you know, serve science, humanity, and every individual has the right to live. And your parents don't have the right to get in the way between you and good health.
So that's another interesting question, Billy. So there's that little girl in the UK right now. I think it's like a 2-year-old girl, right? And she's got severe brain damage. Severe brain damage.
Let her go.
So the government has decided that in conjunction with the hospital that they want to take her off life support. Now, the parents who are... let me tell the story. The parents who are Orthodox Jews do not want the baby to be taken off of life support. Can the government supersede their rights as parents?
Yes.
Wow, Billy.
Yes, again.
Wow, Billy. That's pretty extreme. I mean, that's pretty extreme.
It is extreme, and I'm not sure I'm right. You know, this is just an opinion without deep thought.
Okay.
Let's be fair about this. You know, not that I'm capable of deep thought, but, you know. I mean, what you're saying is that these parents can decide that this child has a miserable life that is 99% under the quality of everybody else's.
Yes.
But because they see it a certain way,
yes,
they're going to force this child to live as long or as short as it lives.
Yes.
But it's impossible. It's impossible. You can't have the government making decisions for people like this. You're right. I don't know.
So
it's a great one.
See, this is where it gets really tricky, Billy. And I'm more so falling on the side of, if we look at the data and we look at the science, if you're under the age of 18, basically you don't need the coronavirus vaccine, Billy. Basically, you don't need it. The CDC is
maybe
out,
it looks like the Delta's though. It looks like the Delta's hitting kids pretty hard. There are kids dying now. There are children dying, and that's hard. You know.
All right. Well, Billy, we're not going to have a show tomorrow because Saul Spady's going to be on. Because I'm going to be on with John Curley tomorrow. So you're fired today.
So in other words, you're telling me I've been fired again. Oh man.
So all right, Billy.
It's
Sunshine.
Hard to keep a job in this economy.
All right, boss. Well, we will see you again on Monday, Billy Sunshine, and thanks for gracing us with your presence yet again.
Have a good one. Have a good weekend, Mark.
All right. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Shane Peterson after this.
That's CYNCH.com.
Too much of your time in your segment, because recently in the text line people have been saying, Jack Stein, you talk way too much. Jack Stein, stop talking. Jack Stein, go away. Jack Stein, get off Cairo Radio. And I think the only reason that they would be saying that, Shane, is because they want to hear from you. So the way we do this segment is I literally have no idea what Shane is going to bring to me. This is what makes it fun. Shane could give me a quiz. He could bring me some story from Barstool Sports. He could talk about Joe Biden. He could talk about Frisbee golf. I have no idea. So, Shane, what do you got for us today?
I kind of feel upset that you had to mention that I use Barstool Sports, even though I love it. Thanks for putting the spotlight on my secret sources. But guess what? This is not from Barstool Sports. I've actually been expanding my horizon, and I found an interesting story today. So, Jack, are you an outdoorsy guy? Do you like going camping? You like going out into the great outdoors?
I like the great outdoors as long as there's a nice, well, air-conditioned and or heated lodge for me to return to.
Okay, so you're not going backpacking, you're not going deep into the wilderness.
No, there's no way. No. I want warm food and waitresses and waiters and bed sheets and shower. Those are the things that I want in my life.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, you were homeless, so I can imagine that those things definitely probably a little bit more to you.
Nice.
Than me.
Boom. Got him.
Sorry. It's the first thought that came to my head. I was like, oh, you know, I'm barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, a little bit.
About the great outdoors.
A little bit.
Sorry. Got to go jab for jab. So I found this story today from BuzzFeed, and it's an interesting story. So a Coast Guard helicopter was flying over a wilderness part of Alaska recently, and they found a lone man waving his arms up in the middle of the air.
Wow.
So basically what happened is this guy was stuck out in the middle of nowhere near this little small town called Nome, Alaska, which is near where the Coast Guards are based out of. And the Coast Guards were basically going and doing their routines. They were flying around and just kind of checking the coastline, seeing what was going on. And they spotted this guy, and they spotted, you know, a few little SOS signs on a few little flat rocks nearby, and they started like going, what's going on? They found this guy. He's waving his arms. They come down and pick him up. And as of right now, he does not undisclose his name, but they have found him with an unspecified leg injury and torso bruising.
Wow.
After fighting a bear.
Wow. I'm looking at this story. Wow. Oh, so this guy, okay, so he had a couple of rounds of ammunition left. Shane, this is why this segment is so good, because I would have not been able to fake this reaction. So this guy, they found him with a couple of rounds of ammunition left. A non-disclosed leg injury and an SOS sign on the top of a shack near a remote mining camp. And they said that he had been stalked by a bear, and the bear had attacked him a few days earlier, had harassed him for a week straight. And wow.
Yeah, yep. You found the story and finished the rest of it
for
me. Yeah. This guy's been stalked by a bear for a week, stuck out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is kind of a story that can kind of hit home for a lot of people up in the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of people that like to go camping and backpacking out on the weekends, and things like this are not that uncommon. So I found this story absolutely amazing, and I would love to see this guy come forth after, you know, he's able to get medical treatment and come back to a good mental state to be able to talk about his experience, because he had somebody looking out for him. Don't know who, don't know why, but somebody definitely did.
Shane, I'm going to use a lot of puns in this upcoming diatribe, just bear with me.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You ever see the movie The Revenant? You ever see the movie with Leo DiCaprio where he gets eaten by a bear?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so that movie changed my opinion on bears, because previously my thoughts on bears was basically like they were just big dogs and that I could easily ward off a bear just by waving my hands, kind of like how they teach you in the Boy Scouts.
What?
You stand up and you wave the bear. You wave at it and you get it to go away. You make yourself as big as possible and you stomp your feet and you go, "Go away, bear! Go away, bear!" But now I've realized that bears are cold-blooded, mindless killers, and they're not like big dogs, that they're the most dangerous creatures to man, and that we need to be much more careful when we are interacting with bears. Now, I am looking at this, I am looking at the mining camp where they found this guy. This guy's totally exposed to the elements. He could be attacked from literally any angle. Shane, are you looking at this picture that I'm looking at of the mining camp?
Oh, yeah, yeah, with all, like, the sea containers and stuff?
Yeah. So this guy must have just been terrified the entire time. There's nothing out there. There's an outhouse that looks like it's about maybe 50 yards away from the two units of housing. One of them looks like it's a food shed, and then the other one is a living area. But outside of that, there's nothing. So, yeah, Shane, this is amazing. Good for that guy. We should have done this one for good news. But that's amazing to me that he was able to survive that and live through that.
Absolutely, yeah. And another crazy thing is, you know, every time I think about the armed forces, a lot of people forget about the Coast Guards and kind of what they do for people.
Yeah.
And you don't ever hear a lot of Coast Guard stories about them doing anything crazy, because mostly they're just patrolling and making sure a lot of our water's secure and make sure not a lot of drugs are coming in.
Yeah.
But, you know, they came through and saved a life, and it's a pretty great story, and that's really what's all on my mind.
All right, so we have to take a really quick break. When we get back, Stacey Jo Ross is going to come in, and I was reminded of a television show that I have not seen in many, many years. If you're around my age, if you're 32 to 35 years old, you're going to know exactly what we're talking about. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.